right. Good morning. Now, if you were with us last week, whether in the room or online, you know that I introduced a new kind of series of conversations, teachings we're going to have for the next several weeks, and it was simply titled Verses, right? Like pinning things against each other, and you heard me tell a terrible story. If you're here, you know the terrible story, right? I got some smiles. Like, Jackson, my ninth grade son, beat me for the first time ever, right? Like, you remember, in basketball. And I realized something when I said that story, and I've been kind of working through it this week. I've been working through forgiveness, because in the moment, you know what you did. In the moment that I told you that Jackson dominated his dad, what happened? Yeah. And this is what I realized. Either you don't love me the way I think you do or hoped you did, or you're just terrible people. I've had to work through that this week because that was an unexpected response. But I told you that story. And I told you when I lost to him, it brought up this competitive, you know, the competitive juices in me. And I had a choice to make. Would I turn this battle into me against my son, or is there a better way to go about life? I mean, when Jackson beat me, that was a whole deal, right? Like, but what he did more than that was expose stuff in me, didn't he? He exposed, I'm not as quick as I was, exposed, I don't jump as high, exposed, I'm probably out of shape because I went up 7-1, then lost, you right? You know, like it exposed some things in me. And so I had to make the choice, would Jackson be what I'm against, or am I supposed to look somewhere else? And I told you, I think in life, we love to make our battles against other people. We love to make our first move in life when we feel something against us, to go against that thing that we feel is against us, instead of maybe saying, is there something in me I should look at first? Is there something inside that I've got to take care of first? That maybe the very first real competitive thing I should look at is me. And so that's where this series comes from, that I think it needs to be us versus us first, instead of us versus others. That I think our life should, our first go-to is us versus us versus us versus others. Because maybe there are things in my life that are destroying me way beyond what someone else can do. Maybe there's areas in my life that I need to take care of if I'm going to live out the life that God has created for me, that I'm needing to become in Jesus. Maybe that's the first go-to. And I think this is what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, right? Do you remember when I read this? I said, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get that prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I don't fight like a boxer beating the air. No, and this is where this comes from. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I just want to bring something different to your life. I want to just bring something that makes you challenge yourself, that maybe life first is to be lived us versus us, to win that prize, to end up the way that God has called us to. So last week we kicked off the very first inner battle, that one that against ourselves, and what was it? Winning versus losing. And that I think we all have inside of us this deep-seated desire to be on the winning side of life, right? So we saw the disciples and how it played out with them, and frankly, we're no different. I would like to say we're different. We're just no different. And so what did Jesus do? He had to push back. He had to correct. He had to change this part of the disciples. He had to correct it, because if the lifestyle they began to live was about winning all the time, to be on the winning side of life, how the world determines it, then it would begin to contradict the life that Jesus has called them to. Because the real truth is that when we're a follower of Jesus, winning isn't always part of the equation. Quite frankly, I think it's more we forsake ourselves for the betterment of other people. We forsake ourselves for other people, that it's going to feel a lot like losing when you're a follower of Jesus. It's going to feel a lot like losing, but it isn't. But it will, until we completely own the mindset of what it means to follow the example that Jesus has put forth for life. To be a follower of Jesus means we wash a lot of feet. To be a follower of Jesus means to be great, or to win, is to be a servant. And the disciples had to dominate, destroy this broken instinct inside of this battle that went on. They had to break it, and so do we. So that's where we've been. If you missed us, you can always go back, but that's what this verses series is about. So I want to move on to one today. I want to move on to this next inner battle that goes on, and I just had a conversation before church. And I was feeling a heaviness about this message. And I just had a conversation with four people before church, and they totally affirmed. This is where they sit right now. Because today, I want to talk about something that I think we sit in every day, from the moment we wake up till we go to bed at night. Today's message may be the most simple message that I ever speak to you. It may feel like a reminder. It may feel like a push, but this push and challenge at the end, I think, is what really, where the life change is. And so to begin this simple but potentially life-changing message, I want to ask, how heavy does your life feel today? How heavy does life feel this morning? Like, we know that life always has weight to it, right? Like, if you're doing anything, life's going to have weight. But is there any chance right now the intensity of life has just risen to another level? And maybe in a way that we've never experienced or haven't experienced for this long before. I think I'm right about this. That the moment you wake up in the morning, heaviness waits for you. As you go to bed at night, is your mind spinning with things that are going to come up the next day or things that happen that day? Isn't there a heaviness to life right now that maybe it feels like I can't believe I still have this weight in my life right now? Just when I think I'm going to walk away from it or move on from it, there's always something waiting for me. Do you feel that weight right now? And maybe then the question isn't how heavy is life, or do you have a weight in life? Maybe the question this morning should be, is how are you handling the weight of life today? How are you handling the weight of life today? I think most people, I think we have the ability, we find ways to handle whatever comes at us in life. I think we find a way to be able to do this. But what I also worry about this morning, and this is my great Pastor Scott worry for us, is in these last several months, you have found a way to get through, but in the process, we have been destroying ourselves. That you still may be standing today, but are you standing the way you should? Have we walked through this heaviness the last 6 months in a way where we're still good inside our soul? I think we all have this survival instinct in us that we figure out a way. And what often happens is we look in the mirror and we just tell ourselves, I've got this. We give ourselves pep talks. I've got this. Today, before we leave the house, I've got this. You know, that we have found ways to kind of put our head down and just keep going. We found our way, what do they say, pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and make things happen. This is what we're told to do. We found a way to tell ourselves we got this because no one else is looking out for me. So I've got to make this happen. I've got this. But what if, and I've got this mentality, is the worst thing for us? What if it's what's been serving us in life, but it's actually the worst thing for us and is not the best way to go about life? Not meaning that you never have to say it. I'm talking about lifestyle. What if we are destroying ourselves because deep inside, the thing we tell ourselves is, you've got to have this. What if on the surface, this mindset looks good, but it's actually the thing that's destroying us? I mean, look at all the things we're carrying in life. Just look at your life right now. Pause for a second. Think of all the things that you are carrying. Your job. There's weight in your job right now, isn't there? Kids. Kids bring weight. And right now with all the school stuff. Maybe grandkids, grandparents. You're carrying a weight you never had before because you've had to step into your grandkids' lives. Maybe school. Remote, virtual, in school, like it's caused weight. Your spouse, maybe they're going through things and you're carrying a weight with them. Friendships. Friendships are tough right now. Leadership, maybe you're carrying the weight of an organization. You're carrying the weight of other people and you're like, leadership, it's up your finances. You got bills and you're not sure how to walk through that right now. There's sickness. You're the weight of being afraid of sickness, or you have been sick or are sick. You've got disappointments you're carrying. And then just put on top of that COVID-19, which we never have, but right now we do. There's all of these weights, and any one of these we could go, I think I've got this. But what about when they pile on? If you look at that list, are there 2, 3, 4 things you're thinking about right now? Is there 2, 3, or 4 weights that if we piled weights on us right now, you're like, I can't hold them right now. I think this is what many people are feeling. And this is, as I said today, just talking to a couple friends before service. We can sense it in each other. We verbalize it with each other. This is what we're feeling right now is the weight. And so that's why I ask, how are you handling the weight of life right now? Are you just putting your head down and saying, I've got this? Has this been the approach? Because sometimes this is what we learn is this is the only way to handle it. Or maybe it's not what we've learned. Maybe we take pride in carrying the burden ourselves. Maybe for us, it's not just something we've learned, but actually we take pride in saying, I have got this. Don't worry about me. Now, ladies in the room, I don't know how you handle life totally, so I want to talk about from a guy's perspective. I want to talk to you guys in the room or online today. Guys, I know you take pride in this mindset. Most guys I know have an I've got this mentality. You're not a man if you need help. You're not a man if you don't feel overwhelmed. If you feel overwhelmed. You're not a man if you admit that life is heavy right now. So do you know what men do? We don't. We don't admit it. Ladies, I may not know you, but I know men in this room that we have a bro, I've got this mentality. And this is my worry this morning. This is what I see in guys in this world. Is we may not be admitting it, but I see guys crashing underneath the weight of life. And this is what I mean. Burnout begins to be experienced. Anger builds up. Resentment for life. Addictions. Marriage destruction. Negativity takes over. We start hating people, detach from people, and then we detach from God. this is what the heart of this message today is. I'm seeing this happen in life. Now, ladies, I admit it, I don't know what it's like to be a lady. Don't hold that against me. But is there any chance you're hiding in life right now because it's too heavy for you? Is there any chance that you have been creating a false you that you have begun to show the world? Is there any chance that you're dying inside, but you don't want the world to see this? You live every day with a fake smile and just say, you know what? I've got that. I've got this. It's not just a guy thing. Ladies, do you do that where you're like, I've got this. I'm strong enough. Look at my smile. I'm good. But under the surface, are you experiencing burnout, breakdowns, destruction in your life? Because life is just so heavy right now. Today's battle that I want to talk about, this inside thing that's destroying us, is that simple thing I've been saying this whole time, is the battle of I've got this. I think the enemy wants us to live trapped in an I've got this mentality. When John tells us that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, I think this is one way that he does it, through individualism and through isolation. And so I go back to God. Go, God, what do you want for us? God, if the life is heavy right now, and we're living in this trap that the enemy puts on us to say, I've got this, I'm good. Don't worry about me, I've got this, and I smile under the weight. What do you want to do, God? I think God wants to change our minds and make a transition from I've got this to we've got this. I told you that today is going to be really simple. For some of you, it's going to be a reminder. And for some of you, it's going to jerk you back into life and saying, you have become prideful. You've become isolated. You've become an individual. And God is like, I don't want you to live life and I've got this. Maybe we need to look and say, we have to say, we've got this. Maybe there's a transformation that God wants to make you in you today, to move you from an I've got this mindset to a we've got this lifestyle. Move from an I've got this mindset to a we've got this mindset, because this is the life that God has always set up, has always planned, has always wanted for you, is that we have a limited capacity in life. You know that? Which means God wants us to go through life with real deep relationships where we hold each other up. I mean, look at the beginning of the Bible. We know the very beginning of the Bible. We know the beginning and how God set up life. And go back to that thing we know where Adam is created. And what does God say about Adam? He is not complete. He needs somebody else. He's like, I'm going to make somebody for you, Adam. And so it says, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. I don't think this is a facts thing of like, you need somebody just to tell a statement. I think God, from the beginning of our scripture, is creating a culture for us. He's saying, this is the way I've designed it. And you will always push back against this. You'll always lean towards broken individualism. You'll always lean towards broken isolation. You'll always lean to a mindset that says, I've got this. But from the very beginning, God makes it clear, before sin even happened, that we needed each other. But too many of us live in the prideful posture that says, I've got this, which means we don't open up, which means we don't share, which means we don't make that text, we don't make that phone call. And very few people are willing to say to someone, I'm carrying so much weight right now, I don't think I can make it on my own. Question for you, when was the last time you said, let's just go 6 months have you said to anybody, I'm not doing that great? Because if you haven't said it in the last 6 months, then don't tell me you're walking through the season in a healthy way, because there have been many days that you have not been doing well, right? Can anybody say, the last 6 months for you, I'm good, I got this? And it really be truth. So what I want for us today is to swallow that pride. This is all I want. I just want us to swallow the pride where we look at each other. Instead of saying, I got this, we look at each other and say, I can't do life alone. Because isolation is damaging. Because isolation has messed with our heads. Because isolation changes the people that we are. I can't tell you the amount of people who have come into this room and they can't believe how much they've missed this time together and how much they've needed it. One lady that came and she just cried the whole way through because she's like, I didn't realize how much I missed worshiping together. Because isolation lies to us. Individualism lies to us. We tell ourselves, I'm good, I've got this. But we are created to live life together. I believe we're created to say we've got this and to push back and demolish the inside thing of us that says, I've got this. And I see it played out through Scripture. I think this is the narrative of Scripture. You know that? I think this is the storyline of Scripture. The we've got this, it's a we. Just if you begin to look at Scripture and how much we versus I is in there, the story of the New Testament, I see it all through Acts, the early church. There was no I in that. It was we. The weight of life was on them. This movement was happening. There's no way that one person, an individual, could walk through this, so they just did it together. This was the early movement of the church, but there's a story that I love in the Old Testament that gives me such an amazing, clear picture that says, Scott, you don't ever got this. This is how I set up life to be, and it's found in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. Let me read it to you. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. I read this story, and as I was reading it again this week, I'm like, I feel like I could do 3 or 4 weeks. There's a whole series on this. The filters, the narrative of this moment right here. It could be multiple sermons, but there are two simple things I want you to go home with today. I don't want you to forget these ever again in your life. And I'm not being over dramatic. I want you to own these two things, okay? Here they are. We all need an Aaron and Hur in our lives. And two, we all need to be an Aaron and Hur to someone else. When I look at this story, God just speaks something deep into me. Say, Scott, you need an Aaron and Hur, and Scott, you need to be Aaron and Hur to somebody else. Because understand this, Moses was following the direction of God. God told him what to do. Moses was standing courageously once again for God. I mean, look, Moses' life had been about a relationship with him and God that he failed early. But then God redeemed him, and then the power of God was used to change so many lives because of how Moses lived his life. Moses was not a weak person. Get this. Because maybe some of you are responding to me talking about the weight of life, and I'm emotional about it. And you're like, Scott, like, I really do got this. I'm gonna push you on you again. It's okay to admit you don't got this, and it doesn't make you weak. Moses was not a weak person. He had been through the negotiations with Pharaoh, right? He'd been through the negotiations with Pharaoh and walked through those plagues. God had used him and that staff to part the Red Sea and lead the Israelite people out of Egypt. When Moses didn't know how he's going to feed the people and they're ticked and they're angry, God used his faithfulness to bring manna from heaven. People still grumbled and complained, and Moses is leading these people, and he's like, I don't know how to give them water. And he takes that staff. What does he do right before this? Puts it on the rock, and water starts coming out of the rock. Moses has been through a lot with God. Moses was not a weak person. He was not soft. Moses, it has been faithful in following the direction of God, but that still doesn't mean he doesn't need people. Just because he's following God doesn't mean he needs other people. There's a phrase a buddy of mine says. He says, Scott, to trust Jesus is a personal decision. But to follow God, that's a group project. To trust Jesus, that's a personal decision. But to follow God is a group project. We can't go without each other in life. We all need an Aaron and her in our lives. Because living out the will of God doesn't mean life won't be complicated. Can I tell you this right now? Personal experience, you live out the will of God in your life, things don't get less complicated. Oftentimes they get more complicated and harder. Why? Because you're going against the nature of this world. Oftentimes we get confused. Why is life hard right now? I'm trying to do my best with God. That is not, like, that's not like the get out of free jail card. Following God can actually be harder. Moses is following the call of God in his life, and in this moment, that call of God meant he needed other people. So hear me. We all need Aaron and hers in our lives because the presence of others brings the reinforcement that we need. When we allow other people to be part of our life, they bring a reinforcement of, and I've got five or six of them here. When we allow people to be in our life, the reinforcement they bring is new strength. New strength you never had before. Can we just admit today again, I keep pushing this, is that we're not as strong as we think we are. And that's okay. Can I relieve some tension in the room today? That you don't have to be as strong as you want people to think you are. It's okay. I'm not proposing this idea of like I'm always falling apart. I'm just saying it's okay to not be as strong as you want people to think you are. Because listen, there's another story of Moses that's found in Numbers, and Moses is leading 600,000 people now. The nation of Israel has grown to 600,000 people, and all of a sudden he realizes it's too much for me. I can't do it. You know what God does? He calls 70 men into the meeting place where they would worship, and he brings them in and goes, I'm going to put my power, Moses' spirit, in you. Because he can't do this alone. God begins to equip people around Moses to do the work that God has called them. Why? Because Moses was not strong enough in that moment to handle the leadership of 600,000 people. Does that make him weak? Does that make him soft? Does that make him just that he's not good enough? It doesn't. Life is tough. And God's like, I'm going to bring reinforcement through people. I didn't know you were going to be in here today, Amber. I'm admitting something. Last couple of years, my wife Amber's up here. Last couple of years, Amber's been trying to help me with something. And marriage does this sometimes. I forget what it was. A couple of years ago, just the weight of life. And Amber's like, Scott, in her words, I forget, but basically, Scott, you're not a robot. You're going to have to admit that life is busy, life is heavy, life is just too much. And you've got, and I've got this mentality. And you're holding me at a distance. And she basically said, Scott, I need you to let me be part of the team. Because you're destroying yourself and the situation because you keep thinking, I've got this. So last couple of years has been a little bit of a journey for me to go, yeah, my wife is right. It's a terrible sentence, isn't it? My wife is right. Scott, like, you're going to destroy yourself. Because you're not admitting that you need, that to me, the arrogance of, I've got this, you do your thing, I've got this. But what hopefully is happening is I grow little by little in this. Is that I've got new strength in life because I've got someone else with me that I've let in. And it changes that dynamic of life. When we let Aaron and hers in our life, they bring a reinforcement of new strength that whether we want to admit, we need it. The second thing is it brings in new skills. It brings in new skills. The reality is we're not good at everything. And when we begin to live life as we instead of I, there's a set of skills that join our life that we never had before. And maybe God can actually make you a better version of yourself when you allow new skills to be brought into your life. Maybe you'll accomplish more than you ever thought you could because other people have been brought in and all of a sudden the skill set grows. And maybe God wants you to allow people into your life because he's like, I can't do what I need to do through you just alone. I need to bring new skill sets into your life. And letting people in allows that to happen. I think having Aaron and hers in your life brings new joy. I think it brings new joy in our life. This may be just me. This is kind of my personality, but I love to do things with other people. And that's what gives me joy. I think this is why people spend so much money to go to any sporting events live. Don't you think? Like, the watching experience on TV is probably better than what you see live. But you can never replace the energy in the room of just people being together, the joy that comes. I mean, I think I've said this before, like how stupid are people? You will hug people you've never met before after a touchdown, after a big basket. Why? Just like there's something about being with other people and the joy that's being experienced. No one wants to go through pain alone. And when someone goes through that with you, there's a joy that rises up. There's a joy that comes into our life when it's like, I'm not going through this alone. We need other people. We need an Aaron and her in our life because it brings new joy. Next thing, I think it brings new perspective. I think it brings new perspective. I'm not as smart as I think I am. And neither are you. I'm not as smart as I think I am, and neither are you. If we don't have others in our lives, we will always think we are right. Back to talking about marriage. This is the great thing and the worst thing about marriage. You know, if you're not married yet, I want to give you a little precursor what's going to happen. Before you're married, everything you think is right. You're the most brilliant person in the world until you get married. And then you get married, and someone is there now challenging your thoughts. Your thoughts are being bounced off of them, and they don't land the way you thought they would land. Like, surprisingly, back to you, Amber, she doesn't think I'm right all the time. I would never know that if Amber wasn't in the room. But this is what happens when we allow people into our lives. It gives us new perspective. And with new perspective brings new possibilities for life. New perspective opens up doors. New perspectives brings new just insights you never had before. Our life can be changed when we have new perspective. All of a sudden, a new freedom can be experienced. New perspective is fantastic because what new perspective also does is it brings new hope. It brings new hope. When someone walks through life with somebody else, it brings new hope for our life, doesn't it? When all we can see is darkness, when all we can see is the world is falling apart, but someone jumps in with us and gives a new perspective on life, we can see the new possibilities that we've never seen before. Why do we let people into our lives? Because they bring new ideas and new thoughts. And this is really good for us. Why does God want us to have people in our life? All those reasons. It's for our good. So think about this. When you go through life all by yourself, you miss out on all of that. Maybe God is saying, you're so foolish right now. Scott, you're so foolish right now that you would sit in your pride and just say, I've got this. Instead of living in a lifestyle of we've got this. But that was the first thing, right? And I said there's a second thing. And the second thing is not only do we need an Aaron and her in our life, we need to be an Aaron and her in someone else's life. Now, it's for all the reasons that I just told you that would be good for them. But can I also tell you, when you're Aaron and her, this is really good news for you. When you are willing to be an Aaron and her in someone else's life, it's actually really beneficial to you as well. It's really cool. Some really amazing benefits happen. Now, it should be that it's good enough just to be in each other's lives because, like, we're selfless and we do all that. And I support that. But can I just tell you, just side note, it's also awesome for you. It's great to be on the receiving end, but it's great to be on the giving end. When you are an Aaron and her in someone else's life, raising people up, keeping them steady, walking with them in their battles, going with them, it helps you not get caught up in yourself. You know that? This is a good thing. It helps you not get caught up in yourself. One of the worst places you can find yourself is just thinking about your own life. We are awesome at pity parties. We're awesome at self-pity parties, aren't we? But when we invest in others, we are able to get out of our own lives and break out of our own ruts in life. Any chance you're in a rut in life right now? Maybe your out is not to figure out more about your life. Maybe your out is to jump into someone else's life, and God will use their life to break you out of the rut. Sometimes everything is dark around us until we walk into someone else's life and we find ourselves going, oh, this is where I've been struggling. That's a benefit. The second thing is why it's great for us to be Aaron and her in someone else's life is it helps us live out the God-designed purpose for our lives. I will always argue that we are never more in God's purpose in our lives than when we're giving ourselves away to other people. We're never more in God's designed life for us. Sometimes the most stale Christians are the ones that have stopped investing in others and they're only focused on themselves. This is counterintuitive, but actually the more we think about our lives, the worse our lives typically are. Right? Like, you've experienced that, right? Like, tell me, you know that, right? The more you think about your life and you start planning for your life and try to cover up all the things you aren't liking about life, actually the worse off your life is. It doesn't make sense, but I think it comes back to how God designed us to go about our lives. A benefit of getting into someone else's life is we get to live in the God-designed purpose for our lives. Just two more and then we'll be done. It helps us to see the bigger story, the God's bigger story. When I am with others and I enter their story, a really cool thing happens. we get to see a side of God that we never saw before. Do you know that? We get to see the creativity of God when we're in somebody else because we realize he hasn't created us all alike. Not the same gifts, not the same passions, not the same mindsets. When we see that, we get to see that God is up to something bigger than what I've seen in my little world. We get to see the greater picture of God's story of life because all of a sudden our world goes from here and just expands. Why do you want to be an Aaron and Hur? Because it's great for them. And we need to be about other people, but when you walk through it, you get to see, oh, God's story is bigger than me. And then lastly, it helps us experience a different kind of joy than we just get to experience in our own life. You know, many of you know that I love to coach basketball, and right now I'm helping coach at County High. One of the reasons I love coaching basketball is to see those players succeed. And the joy that comes over them, the smiles and excitement when something good happens in their life. Do you know what? When something good happens to them, there's a different kind of joy that happens in me. And maybe another example would be when your kids or your best friend, your spouse. Like when something good happens to them, a different kind of joy fills you, doesn't it? Maybe it's God's blessing us because we're living out the life that he has designed us for, called us to. There's just some incredible benefits of being an Aaron and a Hur for someone else. So today, life is heavy. Today, life can be overwhelming. Today, you may have isolated yourself. Today, you may have bought into the lie that you have got this. But I want you to remember two things forever. You need an Aaron and Hur in your life, and you need to be an Aaron and Hur in someone else's life. When you feel the pressure of life, may you remember that God has created you not to go through life alone. That you need people, and people need you. So here's my challenge for today. I said today was going to be just simple, like you get this. But here's my challenge for today. Everyone needs to find someone who can be Aaron and Hur for you this week. I want everybody in this room to find somebody to open ourselves up to someone investing in us this week. That may sound weird because you expect the other side, but I often think people don't invest in our lives is because we are the ones that are close to it. And then the second thing is I want everyone needs to be open. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped those. I did those backwards. But here's the end of the story. Find someone in your life this week. Don't settle. And give yourself away to someone this week. Talk to somebody. Text someone. Call someone. Open up to someone this week. How do we walk out a we've got this kind of life? You have to be vulnerable. You have to be available. You have to be intentional. COVID season has destroyed our connections with each other. And so we have got to be available. We've got to be vulnerable. And we've got to be intentional how we go through this. We have to push back against the instinctive side of us that says, I've got this. This week, when you find yourself just saying, I'm good, ask yourself, are you really? Or do you need to call somebody up? When you're in conversation this week with somebody, ask them, are you doing okay or do you need somebody? Because in Galatians chapter 6, it says this, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens, because in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ in your life. Let's pray. God, may you show us how prideful we are in saying that we are good enough on our own. God, may you show us who we need in our lives, and may you bring people to our lives. And then God, may we have eyes to see people who need us this week. May we lift each other up. Hold our arms up so you can do what you want to do in and through our lives. God, may you create a new lifestyle for us. And this inner battle that's inside of us that says, I'm okay, may you remind us that we're only okay as we walk with you, but also with others. In your name we pray. Amen.